Let the church say amen. Amen. Sorry for the distraction. There we go. God is good. And all the time, God is good. I'd like to say good morning to everyone. It's good to see you all. The scripture was read for your hearing from James 1, I believe in verse number 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. We'll read verse number 23 also. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. And also in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, and all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Let us take a moment and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we have been blessed once again, and we're so thankful. We're thankful that we are able to come out to serve Thee in spirit and in truth. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, for everything You do for us, every morsel of food, every drink of water, every drop of water, I should say, and even the fact that we are just here. We're so thankful, O Lord. We pray this morning for those who are here. We pray for those who may be on their way. We pray for those who are not here that may be traveling, that they get back to their destination safely and securely, and we pray that they also make it back to be with us once again. We're thankful and we pray for the sick and the shut in. We just pray for those who are not able to be with us today because they are sick, whether they might be working or whatever the reason is, we pray that they get back before it's everlasting too late. We pray for the leaders of this congregation. We pray for the men who have worked so far in this service. We just pray for all those who shall come from this point on. Thank you, Lord. Father, we take a moment now to pray for those families down in Texas who were lost during the rampage by a deranged person, O Lord. We just pray that your will might be done for their lives, O Lord, that they might be gathered strength and continue, Lord, to be a servant of yours. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for everything you do for us. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, of whom you sent into this world to hang, bleed, and die on yonder's cross. We're so thankful, O Lord, that we were blessed enough to be here once again. Thank you, Lord, for everything, and we pray and ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus, the one who went to yonder's cross on our behalf. Let the church say, amen. This morning, I want to visit an old familiar subject, the subject of the reason of why we're here this morning, and that is the Word of God. So I asked the question, I asked the title, is in the form of a question, so what can the Bible do for us? God's Word is truly a wonderful book. It is the only book that offers mankind the Word of God. The Word of God is a book of miracles of the ages. It is always fresh and it never grows old. Other books come and go, they get old and they lose their luster, but not the Word of God. It is a fountain that never runs dry. It offers the readers fresh life-giving water to all who will come and drink from it. It is the only book that will have an effect upon us from life to death. It will do something for us individually as well as for our families. Our churches, the nation, and even the world can learn something from the book, the Word of God. Let us look at what the Bible can do for us. I'm sure that we have heard many lessons on the Bible before, but I just want us to be reminded again about God's Word. It will teach us that Jesus is a friend that we can love. No earthly friend will ever be capable of loving us like Jesus loves us. Why, you may ask? Because he died for us. In Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In 1 John 4 and verse 19, it gives us a reason to love him. As if his dying was not enough, verse number 19 of 1 John tells us that we love him because he first loved us. He proved it by dying in our place. And he proves it each and every day by blessing us with air to breathe and by the many wonderful deeds and the work he does for us. God loved us. Christ died for us. He took our sins upon himself. For he was able to substitute. He paid what we could not pay. But it started with God, according to John 3:16, where the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He sacrificed him at Calvary. The Bible will build us up. The Word of in Romans 20 and 32, through the Word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all of them that which are sanctified. There are many so-called self-help books that claim to teach us how to remember better, feel better, become wealthy, and many other things. But none have been around as long as God's Word. None have the ability to promise and then fulfill the promise that it promises, except the Word of God. None can teach us how to get to where we are, and certainly none can teach us about where we are going. None except the Word of God. When we consider that we need building up, we should be strong in faith, and that's what the Word of God will do for us. In Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. No man's self-help book can offer you what the Word of God can. Our convictions must be strong. The Bible teaches us from God's mind and his thoughts, not man's ideas. The Bible is truly a self-help manual. It's made to teach us the righteous way to live so that we may die righteously. Therefore, we need to learn from what it teaches us, for there will not be a makeup test for this life. Once we leave it, it's all over. In Romans chapter 14, verse 11, the Bible says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. And verse number 12 says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. This is from the Bible and not man's self-help book. You know, when you consider how many people own a Bible but don't look at it. How many people use their big, thick Bible for a coffee cup holder? How many houses that you walked in that have a Bible laying around, but the owner of the house cannot tell you anything about God because he doesn't study the Bible? He just has it for show. The Bible will lift us up as well. So many of God's people are down, discouraged, and ready in many cases to give up their Christian walk totally, including many preachers. Many preachers who fall into this category. Have you ever noticed how some Christians who are come to church on the Lord's Day look somber as if they were going to a funeral instead of a victory celebration? Let us look at Jeremiah, who was one who was about ready to give up till God's word got hold of him. In Jeremiah 20 and verse number 9, 8 and 9, verse 8, for since I spake, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of God was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. And then in verse 9, but then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearance, and I could not stay. Here we have a disgusted and ready to give up preacher. But through God's word, which was in the heart burning, he got out and he realized that the word is the only way to go. So I suggest to us this morning, if you find yourself up against a wall and you need help, you ought to go to the word of God and go to God himself. The word of God is the original self-help manual. Through God's word, which was burning in Jeremiah's heart, he realized and he came to himself and realized that God's word is the right way. When we think we are ready to give up, all we need to do is go to God in prayer, asking for his strength to come over us. Watch this other man of God, David, who also became down, but the Lord lifted him up. In Psalms 119, go with me if you will to Psalms 119. Psalms 119, 81 through 83. Psalms 119, 81, Bible says, my soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. My eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a wineskin in smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? David was kind of ready to give up, it sounds, though, in the Bible there. David became a man that God had to lift out of despair. If we ever need God's word today, it is the time we need it right now. It's a place where we can find comfort and strength. Some of us may be in need of him right now. All we need to do is simply call on him so he can get us through whatever we need to get through. For we may find ourselves going through dark and trying times, for we are living in those kind of times. Nowhere is safe anymore. Evil is all around us. When we can no longer feel safe in the Lord's house, we need God and his words even more so. For the word of God will also straighten us up. If we need a reason to study the word of God, it has been said, sin will do one thing. Sin will keep us from the Bible, or the Bible will keep us from sin. And I would much rather be away from sin than to be away from the Bible. It will strengthen us morally and will straighten us up doctrinally. Let us be like the psalmist David said in Psalms 119 in verse number 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. We would do well to remember 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 where the Bible says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It seems as though more and more people are putting the doctrine of men over the word of God. We have put the Bible out of schools. Some of us are even putting them out of our homes. We're teaching our children to ignore or discount the word of God, for it doesn't match up with life anymore, so people are saying. But it does, for it is life. It teaches us life everlasting. We now want everything to be politically correct in how we speak, not hurt anyone and not hurt anyone's feeling. But if you tell someone the truth and it's God's word, let their feelings be hurt. The word teaches us about the church, where it came from, where it started with, who it started with, and who is the builder. It tells us how much the church costs. And even more, it teaches us of Christ and how we can trust him in a man's written book can be full of errors, mistakes, and even outright lies. But Jesus has promised through the word of God that he will return. And we should read his promise over in John chapter 14. Only the word of God can give us the truth of life and death. Now, if I could write a book on making one a millionaire, and I made a promise to tell you everything in it would come true, I could probably sell more books than I could actually print. Well, the Bible has given us the truth about God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit in our lives. Yet people don't follow it like they should. If they did, there would be more love in the world, less killing, less hatred. More would trust in Jesus and less would put their trust in the material things of this life. People would prepare for living after death, and the world would be less greedy about money and material possessions. So when I consider the fact of how good the Bible really is, I'm going to ask you a question this morning, and don't show me by a show of hands. But how many of you trust the word of God? How many of you can vouch and say that the word of God is right because it's in the Bible? It's in there. But God's word is a good book to have, but it's a better book to study. Now, when I consider the fact that how great God is, and it's all in his story of the world, which is the word of God. When you consider how life goes sometimes, you ask yourself, what can we do to get out of this mess that we're in? And I'm not gonna mention any names, but we've got a person sitting in a certain house in this world today. Now we have to give him honor for his position in life. You don't have to like him, but you give him honor for the position that he holds. But nevertheless, this should be your number one source of anything you want to know about the world. It's already in there, and there's nothing new under the sun. God's word is the favorite book of all times, should be for all people, but it's not. So when I consider what the word of God says, in James 1 and verse number 22 again. It says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You've got to know what the Bible says because you've got to be a doer of the word. You've got to do what the word tells us to do, and that is serve God and obey his commandments. There's no other way around it. And then in 2 Peter 3, the Bible says, behold, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you might be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, this I want you to know this morning, church. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last day, walking according to their own lusts. Are they here? Well, you decide on that. But I think they are here right now. They're teaching all kinds of false doctrine. They're teaching doctrine that's not found in the Word of God. And if you want to discuss self-help books, just go to your local bookstore and look in there, and you'll see how many self-help manuals are out there. Books that'll promise you everything and deliver you nothing. But the Word of God will teach you everything and deliver on everything it teaches you. So when I think about it, the Bible that sits collecting dust on someone's coffee table, the Bible that sits on a dresser idle and never being opened, is not a good position for that Bible to be in. The Bible will teach us that up on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's an established fact. That promise has already been brought true, has already been fulfilled. Jesus built his church. That's why we're here today, folks. Because we're in the house of God, we're in the house of the Lord, the house that Jesus built. But let me get back to, if I could write this book. If I could write a book promising you riches of all the world, promise you fame and fortune and all the things like that, as I said, I could sell more of them than I could actually print. But unfortunately, most of the information in it probably wouldn't be true. But when you consider the Word of God, there's nothing in the Word of God that's false. There's nothing in the Word of God that won't profit you a better life if you just follow it. There's nothing in God's Word that's too hard for you to understand if you just study a little bit. There's nothing in God's Word that you can't have in this life. Now, it may not give you wealth and fame, but it'll give you an understanding of God's will for your life. And I think about Jeremiah in Jeremiah 20 there, where he said, it was shut up, the word was shut up in his bones, burning like a fire shut up in his bones. And I think to myself, how many times has the Word of God been in your heart, but many of us fail to work on it, to follow it through? Well, I want you to know something, church. God is not going to put anything on you that's more than you can bear. And I know sometimes it seems as though you want to ask him, Lord, why you put so much on me all at one time? I could bear it, but you got me under such a heavy load. Well, if he didn't think you could do it, he wouldn't put it on you. And then, when you go to the Word of God, everything that you need about your life is in there. Everything that you want to know about your life, it's already in there. You remember that old one commercial about, I can't remember who it was spaghetti sauce though. And the man kept asking, was this, that, and that in there? And the man told him, it's already in there, it's in there. Well, it's in the Word of God. It's already there. All you got to do is open it up and discover it. And I know my time is running short, but I'm coming to a close now. My first closing. So when I think about what all God has presented for us to learn, it's in His Word. And I know there are those who say, well, that was written by a man. Sure, that was written by many men and many and several women as well. But they were inspired of God. It's God's inspiration that gave him the words to put in this book. And I don't know what a Bible costs these days, the big ones like you have in your house, the ones that we use for notes, when so-and-so got married and when so-and-so was born and how many grandkids we got and all of that. That's the purpose of it in some folks' houses. They use it to keep records, but they never open it to study God's Word. And so I ask the question, why not? And the only thing that I can figure out is this. They must not trust the Word of God. If you trust something, you go to it often. Isn't that right, church? When you trust something, you use it as reference material. Isn't that right? When you trust something, you've got a built-up trust in something, I should say. When you've got a built-up trust in something, you reference it more frequently. Isn't that right? And when you reference it more frequently, you'll learn more about what's actually in there. Now, I can tell you that in my big Bible at home, I keep records in there. I keep my car titles in there. I keep notes in there. But I still go to the Bible frequently because I don't have to use that big one because that's not the only one I got. But if you're using it as a place of storage, you need to pull it out of storage and use it as a place of learning. You need to understand the Word of God. And now I did this message this morning. I know most of you probably have heard many references to this same subject, and you've heard it preached many times, but I like to review things. I'm a person who go back every so often. And when I go back, I think it's something that we all need at one time or another, so I'll bring it back around again. And the Bible is something we need on a daily basis. And if you look at the Bible on a daily basis, you'll learn what each day in your life can be like if you just follow His commandments and do His will. Now, when you open that Bible, let me tell you a little secret. When you open your Bible, especially if you wait till at night to open it, you're going to get real sleepy. You're going to get real sleepy because you know who that is, don't you? That's you know who. Trying to get you to close the book. Because he don't want you to learn how to walk right. He wants you to stay crippled-like. He wants you to stay where he can get hold of you all the time. See, you're no good to him if you become studied enough and can decipher God's word. But you're good for him as long as he can keep control of you. But when you learn and you accept what James said, be ye hear, not only hearers, but be doers of the word, he's through with you. And that's what you want. You want him to be through with you. Be gone from me, Satan. And I know that when he gets hold of you, sometimes it's not easy to get rid of him. Because he has these fiery darts that he throws at you. But the Bible tells me how to avoid that. It tells me that I must put on the whole armor of God. I must put on several pieces of armor in order to be fully dressed. And you don't want to go out in the street today without being fully dressed. You know what I'm saying? God is good all the time, church. He knew we were going to face this situation, so he told us through his word how to dress and prepare for it. Put on the whole armor of God. And that you may resist the fiery darts of Satan. Now, once you have been dressed up, you're prepared to go out and fight him and resist him. So I ask you this morning, are you ready to resist him? Are you dressed for resistance? Or like some of us, we like to dress to impress. We like to say, I look good this morning. But are you looking good enough to resist the devil, or are you looking good enough for him to come after you? And the only way you can tell is if you're prepared by studying God's word. And you know, it's easier to read the word of God these days because they got so many different versions. The interpretive version of this Bible, the interpretive version of that Bible. But you know something? Be careful when you read the interpretive versions, because some of them are nothing more than the thoughts of man. Be careful when you read the interpretive version that you're getting the truth and not just what that person that wrote the Bible, that interpretive version, thought. You don't want his thoughts. His thoughts shouldn't enter into it. The Bible is a good book. It's the most popular book in the world. But I would venture to say it's probably the least read. Because if it was read more widely, then we'd be in a better situation in our country, in our world today. Because people would know how to treat each other. We would know how to love. They would know how to stop envying one another. They would know how to treat one another just all around. So if you're contemplating buying a book, let me suggest you buy the Bible. And if you're contemplating studying a book, let me suggest you study the Bible. And if you're contemplating something to read, reading material, read the Bible. But not only read it, you must study it. Now, I could wrap up right now. I know some of you are saying, I want you to sit down. But I just got a couple of more things to say, and then I'll be done, and I will sit down. I will take my seat. One thing I want to say is God is good. Another thing I want to say is God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And one other thing I want to say, let us learn to embrace one another with love, envy, love, and the word I want to use is the respect. And let us be kind to one another, tender-hearted. The Bible says all this. If you've got one, you read it, you'll know where I'm coming from. I didn't just make that up to tell you to love somebody that you may not even know that well, but you must love, especially your brothers and sisters. But you've also got to love your enemies. And that's a hard thing to do, because some of us don't love the person sitting next to us right now. I mean, I'm just being real about it. If you don't love me, you're going to have some gate trouble. You're going to have some gate trouble. And you know, there's a song that we sing, when the gates swing open, you're going to have a problem when the gates swing open. If you're not following the word of God. And if you're not following the word, if you don't know the word of God, then you can't follow the word of God. So you got to know it first. There are several sisters in here that I admire very much because of their knowledge and wisdom in the Bible. I'm not going to call their name because that might make some of the rest of you mad. But these sisters, they know the word of God. They have quoted it to me. I've heard them use it. And I just didn't hear them use it once or twice. I heard them use it multiple times. And I know that when you come to Bible class on Sunday morning, now you do come to Bible class, right? Oh, okay. All right, when you come to Bible class on Sunday morning, that's a chance for you to get up and let the church know how much you know about the Bible. Because after every lesson, there are questions in the back of the lesson. And Brother Jackson, as he teaches his lesson so well, he discusses those questions. And you get a chance to answer them. And I listen. I sit back there. I listen. I don't usually answer anything, but I listen. I listen to what you're saying. And I know who's opened their Bible or not by listening. I also know who kept it closed by listening. And when I want the word of God instilled in me, I go to the Bible where it can be instilled in me. And I'm not saying I know everything because I don't, but I know some things about the Bible. I know a little something about the Bible. And I know that the Bible will build us up when we're torn down. I know that the Bible will pick us up when we're weak. I know that the Bible will help us to make it through another day. Now, what do you want to say to us, preacher? What are you trying to say? I'm simply trying to say to you that the Bible will do something for you if you just open it. What will it do for you? Well, it'll do many things for you. How do you think you got up this morning? Not because you're so pretty. Not because you dress so well. Not because you've been so good, but because God allowed us to get up. When my eyelids were shut down and I was sleeping, I didn't have no idea what was going on around me. You could have came in my house and you could have killed me, Lord, but you didn't. You allowed me to wake up, Lord, and I thank you for it this morning, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you woke me up this morning. You lifted the sleepy eyelids open and you propped them open with your grace and your mercy. You kept me going through last night, from last night to early this morning. Thank you, Lord. I know that God is good because I see it every day when I rub my eyes to get to sleep out and I go to the window and I look out. And I say, oh, what a magnificent day. Whether it's snow on the ground, rain in the clouds, or sunshine in the air, in the sky, I know that God is good. And you know where I learned it from? I learned it from the word of God. And I can't see getting by without having the word of God in your possession. And when you come to church, a lot of folks bring their Bible. I'm almost through, Brother Jackson. They bring their copy of the Word of God. But you know something? I've seen people walking down the street with their Bible in their hand. I don't know what they expect to accomplish by just having it in their hands. I don't know if they study it or not. But one thing I can say, if you've got a copy, you should be studying it. If you've got a copy, you should be learning from it. And the only way to learn from it is if you study it. A Bible sitting idle is useless. Except for storage, some say. And I go with that old saying that I've heard many times. If you want to hide something from us, put it in a book. But God doesn't want his book to be hidden from you. He wants us to know, learn from his book. So when you get home, if you got your big Bible there, open it up just for practice sake. Open it up. Use it, study it, read from it, so that you'll know what thus saith the Lord. And I'm done now. If you're not a member of the Lord's body, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then we'll baptize you. Even on this dreary, rainy day, we'll baptize you. But if you are a member, but somewhere you walked astray, you can come back by coming forward, asking the Lord to forgive you first, coming forward, asking the church to pray for you. This is your desire as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.